Tonight, Pretty Late favorite Brandon C. Price rides sidecar as we talk politics. Then later, Mark Carman has a full breakdown of the NFL draft. And finally, Rich Lenkov explains if you can really sue Starbucks over ice. All that and more live from the Showcase Studio West. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. I am your host, broadcasting from the Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles, and I have to say, Esmeralda, it's so soothing to hear traffic in Chicago. Does that sound weird to say?
Like, Esmeralda has walked off microphone.
She's left. Yep. She doesn't even want to know how homesick I am when I hear her traffic reports. I wonder how many expats, how many people who have left Chicago who are listening to WGN and just hear those, you know, all those traffic reports and delays. Even when it's a delay, you know, construction, I'm like, at least I know it's familiar. I know what the time is like. Even if it's completely stopped, Craig, I'll know exactly. If I have to get off, what the side streets would be, what my alternate routes are. I talked to you and Stephanie earlier today for our production meeting.
Yeah.
And I had told you I was in the car. I ended up being in the car today for a total of 4 hours.
Holy geez.
Yeah, I was running an errand. And it was my pleasure, too, because it was for my hosts, the folks that are letting me stay in their home, Mark DiCarlo and Yanni Alvarez. Have you ever had to leave someone's car somewhere for them, Craig? Have you ever had this errand where, could you leave my car at this place
no.
so I can get it easier? Yeah. They're arriving at LAX in just a little while.
And you had to leave the car at the airport?
Near the airport. Their friends live in Hermosa.
How did you do that?
That's a very good question. So there's another friend. There's another friend of ours here in LA. So I took, they took the other car, the other Alvarez DiCarlo car. They were going to the airport, so they met me at the location where I was dropping off the car. Are you with me?
I am so far.
Okay, so we drove both of the. They have two little sedans.
Okay.
We took both cars. He drove the other one. I drove one. We drove to the prearranged destination to leave the one car. Then I got in the other car and drove him to the airport. But while we were dropping off the car, something very important occurred to me, Craig.
Yeah, go ahead.
I texted Yanni and Mark and I said, "Hey, just out of curiosity, do you guys have the keys to your car so that when you arrive?"
You know.
And I was waiting, and my friend had to get to the airport, so I ended up leaving before I got the rest of the information, knowing no matter what, I would have to go back to that car and figure something out. So here was the worst-case scenario. So I took my friend to the airport, waited for the text, and which, by the way, they did eventually text and say, no, give us a moment to figure this out. But I realized the worst-case scenario was I would take one car all the way back to the Valley, drive and then Uber back to the original car and take the car back and then let them Uber from the airport. It was mind-numbing.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds really complicated.
It was. And then I get there and all the street parking is only two-hour parking. And I was going to
have
to leave the car there for 9 hours.
Right.
And I thought, well, this doesn't work either.
So you
finally,
slept in the car.
I was going to. It's really hot out. No, because I have the show to do. Right? So it's so trapped.
Oh, man, you could have broadcast from the car waiting for them to pick it up. That would have been amazing.
Yes, and you know how much our engineers, how much Bob Ferguson would love.
Oh, he would love that.
On Wi-Fi.
Right. Connected to, like, your cell phone service. It'll be fine.
To the car charger, to the cigarette lighter. That would work out just fine.
By the way, you are really homesick when you miss our traffic.
Oh,
that is very homesick.
There's no sort of... there's no rhyme or reason to it, first of all. You'll hit a huge patch. And this happens on the Kennedy, by the way. 312-981-7200. I think everyone on any various route in Chicago has this occurrence, or anywhere in the country, where for whatever reason, every single day, no matter what time it is, you hit a pocket of traffic for really no reason. Now, there is a reason if you're taking the Jane Addams to the Kennedy, those toll booths are ridiculous, right? There's like 30 toll booths and then three lanes when you get out. So everyone's just kind of trying to, you know, occupy the same space at the same time. But the outbound Kennedy, for some reason, no matter what time of day it is, it clumps up before Harlem and it backs all the way up to like Nagel. And you get there and there was nothing there. There was no accident. There wasn't rush hour. I don't know if there was a glare or something. But that seems to be the case on every single highway here. Like, there isn't just, like, one spot. It's every single spot for no reason. Just too many people with no place to be, Craig.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's terrible.
Yes.
LA's awful.
Do you have a place, Craig? I mean, like, do you take the highways very often? Like, Lakeshore Drive is...
I take Lakeshore Drive every day.
Do you find that some days there's just a pocket for no reason?
Yeah. Yeah, every so often. Well, especially with how late we do the show. So every so often, I hit traffic coming in at 9 o'clock at night, and I never understand that.
It doesn't make sense. Where do the people have to go?
Right.
One lane of traffic I hate on Lakeshore Drive is if you're in the far right lane, closest to the lake, near when you're going to toward Belmont. That exit builds up into two lanes of traffic for no apparent reason. Like, I don't understand.
Now, Belmont is the worst street to drive on.
Oh, it really should have been a four-lane street lane.
Right, Esmeralda? You've reported that before. Belmont, terrible.
Well, Belmont is the center of
the universe.
The north side, I would say. Because there's Wrigley Field, and you got Clark and Addison. Like, that, even if
all
there
the
is no game, it's still like Party Town USA.
If you
over
started
there.
Telling everyone to avoid Belmont, do you think eventually it would be a street that we could use?
I mean, I do when there's games. I'm just like, don't go over there, guys. It's packed with people. Like, from here to here, just don't avoid it.
It should be all-time avoided. It should be all-time off-limits. It's a nightmare to get off there. Yeah, but every road here, Esmeralda, I was saying how much you were making me long for home with your traffic report on the roads. Because the traffic in Chicago makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I have friends who've moved here and say it's not as bad as Chicago traffic. And I don't know, maybe if you've been out here for a while and you start getting the landmarks and you get an idea of how far away you are from something. But I like having my escape routes too, Esmeralda, like my Elstons. You know, I got my you know, frontage roads all the way. I like knowing I have a way out.
Well, we have public transportation.
That's the other thing.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no, you can't do anything. If you're driving because you can't get to where you need to go in any other way. At least here, you know, if your car breaks down or something, it's like, oh, well, I can take the bus or there's
exactly.
a train.
Yeah. And there's some rhyme and reason to it, except for the metro trains. That's only, I mean, there's rhyme and reason and they're very specific, but they will, you got once an hour and if you miss it, you're done.
Yeah, those are special.
Patty, really special. Quick, Jim's on the line. He wants to explain why the Kennedy gets backed up.
At Harlem? Oh, yeah. Tell me, Jim. Yes, please.
Yeah, I've gone through that problem so many times, and I heard on radio a couple of years ago, there's a slight upward and then downward hill, but right during that hill, there's a curve, too, a slight curve.
Right.
And if you're going at speed limit and you go up that hill, all of a sudden everybody in front of you might have brake lights on, so everybody is so careful there now. It's just always precautious.
Interesting.
Because it's a hill and a curve at the same time. You can never know what to expect on the other side of it.
I'm going to pay closer attention because I just think that they're being almost too – they're being hesitant to the point of being dangerous, though.
Yeah, you're right, because as soon as you pass that area, there's like nobody in front of you. There's nothing to be – there's no reason for it.
No, it's
yeah,
bizarre.
I heard it a couple years ago.
Now, is it just me or do – I remember when I was learning – if this is correct, but when learning to drive, I was told you're not really supposed to brake on the highway.
No.
You're not
supposed to take your foot off
ease.
The brake, and you'll slow down enough because everyone's still moving.
Yep.
That's also when we learned how to drive years ago, we're supposed to have a gap in between cars.
Yep.
And
how many car lengths? How many car lengths?
Whatever speed limit you're doing, like if you're doing 50, you should have the first number 5 car lengths in front of you.
Really? Oh, I like this.
Yeah, because then when you're braking, if you're doing 50, it takes you 50 times the 5 again to stop. So it takes 250 feet to stop.
And I thought it was always just like 2 car lengths. That makes absolute sense. And now I have to do like spatial math all the time. But that's perfect, Jim. I like that.
But nobody does it. Everybody, doing 70, people are right on your bumper.
I know. They always make me want to, test out their how quick their reflexes are. But then I'm like, well, that's how I die. Well, Jim, thank you for shedding some light on all of that. You have a great night, okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you, too.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles. It's actually a closet in the home of Mark and Mark DiCarlo and Yenny Alvarez, and I was in traffic all day today and just longing for Chicago as I listened to Esmeralda give the traffic reports. It's just familiar to me. And we have a listener on the line. Glenn wanted to talk to us a little bit about about semis and their stopping abilities. Yes, Glenn?
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I don't live in Chicago. I'm a visitor every night. But how many cars speed up in front of our semis, and then they'll hit their brakes for no apparent reason. And they think that the semi can stop on a dime.
Yeah, you got to think about all that momentum. I mean, the heft of a semi. There's a reason why it's called a semi.
Or if anyone sees a squad car on the side of the road, everyone thinks that it's for them. And then they start slowing down. But I lived in L.A. for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
When I left in 89, the average speed limit was 25 miles an hour on the freeway. And I could just imagine it being worse.
You mean the speed limit or the average, not the speed limit, the rate at which you were able to travel?
The average speed was 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, there were moments
higher, but
yeah, there was a lot of 10 miles an hour for me today from the valley all the way to Hermosa Beach. It was crazy.
I feel for you.
Where do you live? Where do you live now, Glenn?
I live in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Oh, traffic!
I come to Chicago every night.
What every night for work?
Yes.
Holland.
I deliver to a place called OSM in Bensonville. Deliver there, then I run to Munster, Indiana, pick up a load of Pepsi, and then I deliver that on the way back.
North. Well, thank you for keeping things moving on our roads, and you be safe out there, okay?
Thank you, and you too.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to do my best. Bye-bye. Thanks. That's the thing about driving is you can be as careful as you want. You know, obviously, we all have our moments of inattention, but then it's the other people. You're at the risk of other people not paying attention to anything. It's kind of crazy out there. I was at a parking lot. I've decided there's nothing I ever really need at a Trader Joe's in L.A. They are the worst parking lots. They have to have, traffic monitors or whatever, like security guards directing people to parking spots because it's so crowded.
That's a good call.
Parking lots not designated which way you should go either?
Well, this one actually
had arrows.
The security guard stopped a woman who had tried coming in through the exit, which I kind of wish that was in every parking lot when someone goes down the wrong way. Don't you wish there was someone standing there to go, you just did the wrong thing?
But sometimes you can't tell because they're just straight.
Yes.
And there's no arrows. That makes me so mad.
Right. If the cars aren't at an angle pointing in the direction that makes it obvious which way that lane is.
Right. Because people then, they either just decide, like, no. I'm going this entire way in the middle of the thing. And it's like, no, man, this is a two-way.
Yep. People make up their own rules in parking lots. And for people who feel as though there should be some sort of sense and order to it, I have a hard time in L.A. parking lots because there's complete disregard for other people's space. It's very strange. I get the feeling that in Chicago we put up with so much. And look, we have our moments where we're impatient and we get angry at each other. But there seems to also be we're all in this. We know at some point it's going to be crappy for anybody. So we'll kind of just get through it. Here, it seems to be more about this is you're impeding on my time, you're taking up my space.
Well, everyone's in their own bubble, right?
Yes.
Although it's LA.
It is LA. Oh my gosh! I do this class called Cardio Bar. I've talked about it before. It's like angry ballet, but I was doing it in Studio City, which it's a great area. There's a lot of actors live there, but there are women in this class who, let's say they're, maybe in their 60s or 70s, and they're very thin. They've worked out a lot, but they keep doing the Botox, so their cheekbones are hollow, but their lips are like super puffy. You remember that joke in First Wives Club? It looks like she got her lips stuck in a pool drain. That's what a lot of them look like. It's very disconcerting.
Oh boy.
They're like inflatable flotation devices. Okay, so Esmeralda, we've talked about running into celebrities before and what our various reactions are depending on that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Dave Chappelle last week, and I felt very comfortable with how I handled it.
Which, by the way, I've told like everybody.
That I saw Dave Chappelle and hung out and talked to him.
I can't believe what she saw.
I talked to him for a few minutes, and he was very cool. After the news, I'll tell you what other great. I think he's a great big star. I think that he's definitely memorable, and when I tell you who he was, I almost felt like running because I thought something bad was going to happen. That's how sort of a place in our mental history this actor has. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
You
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm trying to figure out a way to give away a prize to Lou Malnati's. And we have a $25 gift card, so I saw a celebrity. I actually took a – well, here's the thing. If you go to my – here's one way to find out. Here's one way to win, Craig, is if you go to our Patty V page, you can actually see it there.
Right. Yeah, you can just
right? We already said Dave Chappelle. It's the other celebrity. But if you are would rather play – you can give us a call, 312-981-7200. Rob Martier has kicked it off. We're kind of playing a 20 questions. If you can ask me a yes or no question. But I think another hint is an order. I could do it this way. It is a male actor. Do I give a hint towards his name? Or how would I just don't want to be too hard or too easy. This makes me
how about
anxious.
What type of movies?
All right, exactly.
But like
that, should I give with
comedy?
The type?
Dramas?
No. The big one he's known for is not a comedy. How's that? Although there are funny lines in it.
I think it so can be under one specific.
The movie he's known for is a funny non-comedy.
It's not that funny. It's an action movie.
There you go.
I think he's known for some of his dramatic roles too.
Yes. Is he?
Yes.
All right
then.
And action.
Yes.
Quick question.
Yes.
In the picture. This isn't going to give away anything.
No.
But is that his forehead that smooth? Or is that,
is that the filter?
Yeah.
That might be the filter.
Because it looks insane. It's like, man, you have not aged.
Well, he looks really good. I think his hairline is a little bit higher is about all. But he
Oh, that's
really
fine.
Good. Yeah.
It just looks, but his forehead just looks like you could ice skate on it. It's so smooth.
That's a little bit smooth. But I would say that, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people here who seem to invest their time and resources into making sure that they continue to look good, whether that's working out or, you know, maybe moisturizing, you know, getting. But he does, I mean, he is weathered, though. Yeah, so my filter, I have a setting on my phone that kind of gives people a glow.
We have Sean calling in with a guess.
Okay. Hey, Sean, what do you think?
Let's see. Has he written movies in the past?
Has he written any movies? I do not. I'm going to look on his IMDb page. He's not known for writing movies. Craig, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. He is not known for writing movies.
Right. But I'll check his IMDb page.
You don't even want to make your guess then, do you, Sean?
You can still guess. You can still take a guess.
Well, I'm gonna guess Matt Damon.
Right.
Oh, no. But that's a good guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I had seen Matt Damon. I mean.
Well, I was thinking The Martian was funny, but not technically.
No, you're right. That's absolutely right.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Oh, I didn't know he was in that movie.
Yeah, no, Sean's on the right track. That's a good thought.
Yes. That's a big – and this is a significant star. Gosh, he's been in stuff going all the way back. He's worked a lot. And I was startled by him because I was sitting at the Starbucks and I was wearing my baseball hat that was given to me by the Marines. And he looked underneath the bill of my cap and said and asked me if I was a Marine. And I felt bad, like I was posing or something. I said, no, I did some coverage for the Marines for WGN Radio and then introduced myself.
Nice.
So it was kind of cool. Yeah.
We have Lee on the line with a guess.
Yay. Hey, Lee, how you doing?
Hey, fine.
Do you want to ask a question before you guess, or do you have a guess?
Oh, no, but I have a guess. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, but that's a great guess.
That would be so cool.
Gosh, that would have been very good. I would now. That's somebody I would have had a tough time not petting his biceps.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's a great guess.
Sure.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. Wow, people aren't even asking for hints. Well, because we said
you know
action
what?
Movie.
Why don't we give one of the biggest roles he played? One thing that he's known for. That movie came out in 1991.
Okay. 1991, I would say his iconic role.
Yeah.
When you see him, you kind of, and you know what? 1991, and then he actually reprised that role in a, you know what? He reprised it in a comedy. How's that?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Which, and everybody in the theater screamed when that happened. Do you remember? Did you see that other movie, Craig?
I did,
do you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a very funny
movie. And by the way, Brandon C. Price is sitting here on a microphone and stuff.
Yeah, well, hi, Brandon C. Price.
I have no idea who it is. Hi, Patty.
Can you still, do you still find bananas disgusting?
So many new foods are disgusting. Day 37.
You should,
Brandon
really,
C. Price is not smoking. Yes.
You should write these down on the internet.
Oh, yeah. What smells bad today? Just catalog it all. A new thing I hate smelling.
Yeah, everyone smells. Like, good or bad, everyone has a smell. And that's a new... Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's absolutely true. Do you know what? I don't know if you know this, and maybe next time you can try to pay attention. I know Brian Posen's mentioned it. I always try to smell like food, but like sweet foods. I usually wear vanilla or a Dreamsicle, like the orange ice cream.
I haven't smelled you in a minute.
Yeah. I don't wear floral scents. I always try to wear sweet food scents.
Although, you know what I find kind of a little sad, Brandon, is that you've never really smelled a person.
Yeah.
Like, so someone that you really, that you're into, you're dating, you get used to that smell and you kind of...
Oh, like it lingers on your pillow and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can, and when you just smell them, you just, they have a scent that you find attractive. That's just their scent.
Some people smell like detergent. Some people smell like a nice bar of soap. Some guys smell like a nice, like a subtle cologne.
I feel Old Spice has never let me down ever.
You don't wear Old Spice, do
I
you?
Do, of course.
Really?
Old,
like,
Old Spice antiperspirant, Old Spice, what's it, aftershave?
That's never struck me as a, well, you don't wear, you don't overdo it. How's that?
No, I don't. I find, especially now that I can smell, you get on the bus or somebody walks by you on the train station or something and they've got too much cologne on, it is beyond offensive.
It is. It's jarring, isn't it?
Or
is it true that females smell better than males? I think that's like an actual science thing, right? So if you're trying to attract females, the extra cologne is, I feel like, even more of a turnoff.
Are you saying just in general females smell better than males?
I want to say
like
that
if they sweat.
No. Like they have the ability to smell better.
Oh, our olfactory.
Right. They are more capable of smelling.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, to pick up on
I'm sure everyone smells good, regardless of gender.
I didn't know what scientific study you were referencing.
2016, everyone smells good.
I wish that was true, because the train sometimes. Oof.
By the way, Patty, Susan did guess Warren Beatty,
God, that
he made his career a little bit earlier than
in
91.
In the 60s, I would say.
So our clues right now are male, 1991 blockbuster, was not funny, later somehow was funny at some point, and has a smooth forehead.
Yeah, he is definitely known for the role he played in that movie in 1991.
And he has two first names.
Should you name a movie? Maybe not that one, but others, maybe?
He is current,
that might be. That's just like giving it to Google people.
He has also appeared in several television series. So.
I mean, this is a lot of people. We can't
What's
really
the most
knock
recently
it down.
I would have seen this person in
a
prominent role?
He's still definitely out there doing stuff.
Would I have seen him perhaps in a cinema theater?
He was in a TV series that is airing from 2014 to 16. It's still on the TV.
Okay. Mm. I mean, come on.
Uh-huh.
You'd be a little more
forehead.
Specific? No? All right. We're going to be here all day.
I didn't realize he was on True Blood. There you go.
See, there you go.
No, wait. I love that show.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. Ran into a movie star. But it's funny because in the first movie he made, he was not the star of the movie. He was very significant in the movie. And I would say that movie changed the way action films really... let's say this as well.
Let's say someone he starred with. Mm-hmm. In that movie.
Oh, no, never mind. I bail on my guess.
And by the way, we have Rich on the line who wants to make a guess. Should we give him an extra clue first, Patty, or do we let him guess first?
Rich, do you want to guess first or do you want another clue?
Let me guess first.
Bold.
You're only going to get the guess. There won't be another hint for you, my friend, unless you want to call back again. But yes, what's your guess?
How about Arlie Ermey?
Oh, solid.
Who's Arlie Ermey?
The guy from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, that's a good one. Is that the drill instructor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's the drill sergeant
in the Marines,
Full Metal Jacket.
In the Marines, as I have learned, it's the drill instructor. I said drill sergeant, and they go, this isn't the Army, and they get very particular.
That would make sense, because I bet you he probably...
His forehead's so wrinkly, though.
If he sees someone...
Have we officially told Rich the answer was no there, that it was not correct?
Yeah, officially no, not the Arlie Ermey.
It's a good guess.
I was a great guess. I would have loved to have seen him.
We have more callers on hold, but we can go ahead and give another hint first.
All right, let's give another
hint. The movie that made him famous, he starred opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, dear. Now we're really going.
Yeah.
All right, who's our next caller that's
We have Paula on the line.
Paula, what do you think from all the hints that we've given so far?
I was going to guess Tom Hanks, but that's probably not it.
Oh, I would have. I don't know what I would have done then. I mean, I would have been apoplectic. There would have been paramedics. I don't know why. I was a dork, but that would have been tough.
By the way, a Tom Hanks Arnold Schwarzenegger movie still sounds amazing.
Yeah, I watched that buddy cop film.
Oh, for sure.
Two men coming out of retirement for one last crime.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
That's a great guess. Thank you. Do you have one more, Craig, before we take a break?
Sure. Yeah, let's go to Steve.
Steve, do you want another hint, or do you feel like you've got it now?
Well, I think I got it. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, that's three names. No, not Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, that's a lot of names.
It's all right. Thank you for trying, though. 312-981-7200. Let's recap. His big first movie was 1991 in an action movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. He has two first names. He's currently on television in a TV series. He's been in True Blood. What else did we give away, Craig?
Forehead.
Right? Well, the forehead thing is because of my selfie. And if you like Patty V's show, you will also see a picture.
Here,
of
wait.
Selfie.
You know, yes. You're doing an amazing job teasing it, but we have Brian Michael on the line, mm-hmm. and he's got a guess.
Oh, Brian Michael. Is this because you have two first names? You are acutely aware of other actors with two first names.
And Brian Michael hung up. He had a really good guess. Brian Michael, you should call back.
He panicked. Man. Did I scare him away?
You might have.
Maybe he thought I was coming for him.
As soon as you said his name, he was gone.
It just.
Right. Okay, we'll take a break. Never mind. You were teasing amazing.
More after this on 720 WGN. A little under pressure. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And Craig, I understand that we have led people down a path, although I understand the confusion. However, here, let's see what Corey, who do you think is the actor I ran into in Hollywood based on the hints we gave?
Yeah, I think it's Tom Arnold.
Right. And based on, because he did co-star in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, he does have two first names. And the movie they start in together is an action movie, but I would say that's also a big comedy. Like, that's more than just an action movie. And the one that we're thinking... Yes,
Tom Arnold, for sure, is known for his comedic roles, I would think.
Yes, and this actor is not at all.
He's got a pretty shiny forehead, too.
Good point.
It is a great guess, and it is. I feel bad because I was like, yeah, that is two first names. That was an excellent guess. Thank you, Corey.
Are you calling Jingle All the Way an action movie?
True Lies.
Oh, okay, that's better.
Yeah, True Lies is an action comedy, I would say.
I'm so happy that's what he thought of.
I was like, I guess it had a Turbo Man was flying around.
Right.
No, True Lies. I thought True Lies is actually a pretty fun action movie. That was a fun romp. But the one that we're thinking of, Raphael. Do you have a guess?
Yes.
What's your guess?
My guess is Robert Patrick.
That's the one. Ding, 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 ding. We also have a winner on Twitter. We're going to give a prize to him as well. Excellent, Raphael. Did you know from the hints, or at what point did you go, oh, I know who that is. I got a call.
When you said that he was on a current TV series.
Yes, he's on Scorpion. Do you watch that one?
Scorpion, I do.
Yeah, I got a lot of posts from people that they love that series. I'll have to check it out because I have to tell you something. He was so nice. He was not just to me, but there was another fan that was trying to regain use of his tongue. He asked Robert Patrick, he goes, are you an actor? And Robert Patrick, not in a smug way, but in a kind of funny way, he goes, I'm the actor. And right. he was very cool and gracious. He took a photo with the guy. He took pictures with me. Told me he's going off to the Middle East to tour with the USO. By the way, next month in the next couple weeks. Well, thank you, Raphael. We have a $25 gift card from Apt Electronics. I mean, a $25. Well, you know what? We'll do one for Apt Electronics. You choose, and we'll give one to our Twitter winner as well. So off the air, tell Craig if you want a $25 gift card to Apt Electronics or a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Both great gifts. And go to aptelectronics.com. Thank you, Raphael. That was a great game. I'm so sloppy. I don't know how to do trivia games, but you did very well. Thank you. Do you like T2?
I love
Brandon?
T2.
I think I've only seen that's the one where he's nice to the young boy, right? He doesn't want to kill him anymore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Liquid Man.
Right. Well, that's Robert
Schwarzenegger's
Patrick.
A good guy.
Oh, that's T2. Who Robert Patrick. Okay, great. Yes. I'm in now. He does. Wow, that guy has a great forehead. You're right.
Oh my god.
I don't know if that's what he wants to be known for.
Upon further inspection, I did some Google imaging, and yeah, it was a filter.
It was a filter. But I looked. My forehead is fantastic because of the bangs. Oh, the baseball hat helps for me. That's all. That's all I need to do. But yeah, it was. Well, and I had just seen Terminator 2 last week with Griffin because we were trying to like catch him up on some of the action movies of the 80s, 90s, some of the stuff that Steve and I grew up on.
We watched
Die Hard. We actually watched that because he loves Alan Rickman, and when Alan Rickman died, Steve and I wanted to watch the first movie we remember him in. And also, I remember, I love Truly Madly Deeply, which is a great movie. But Robert Patrick is so good in T2. I mean, he's just so lethal and driven. And he has this look on his face the entire movie like some sort of animal of prey, you know, like he's just going after something of his prey and he's unrelenting. It was great. So it was weird. I was a little startled when I saw him at the Starbucks because I still had the idea. Do you remember him in Wayne's World 2? It was fantastic. Nobody?
As the same character.
As the same character, yeah. He pulls them over and he starts walking. They see him in the rearview mirror and it freaks them out, yeah.
He really should just wander around in a police uniform. Well, I mean, that might be a little confusing to people, but
it would be.
I think they would get it.
Yeah. He is a little weathered now, but he's got such a great voice. I invited him onto the show. I gave him my business card and he said he would pass it along to his publicist. I don't know if that's for reals or not, but he was nice enough to not say, no, I don't do radio.
Well, we'll see. What's he going to be doing soon? Other than going to the Middle East.
He's going on a tour with the USO. So it was. I was glad. Now, Brandon, have you ever run into a celebrity that you admire and try to keep your cool?
One time I saw Matthew McConaughey at the Galleria in Dallas.
What?
Yeah, I went up to him. I said, you're Matthew McConaughey. And he said, yep. And he walked away.
Way to identify that.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure he knew. Yeah. it's the only thing that came out of my mouth. I don't know.
Yup. I was telling everybody last week, I ended up sitting next to, at the sushi bar I was at, I had been sat by the host a couple seats down from a gentleman who was, you know, about to finish up his meal, and it was Dave Chappelle.
Oh, nice.
And I had to work very hard not to swallow my tongue and to regulate my breathing. And then I started with a casual stand-up comics comment. I asked him if he has had the opportunity to drop in at Wiley's Comedy Club lately. And Wiley's is one of his home clubs in Ohio. So I kind of had that. I had that one. I felt like I had that holstered. I don't know any other comic that I could have been that specific about one of the clubs they started in. And even after he was famous, he continued to drop in and do material to work on new stuff there.
I rode the train with Tim Meadows once all the way to the airport.
Oh, and did you say anything?
At the very end, I thanked him for Shirt in a Can, which was a commercial on Saturday Night Live that I really enjoyed.
Did you just stare at him? Like, was he at the end of the car, or were you sitting next to him?
I slowly moved closer to him the entire 30-minute ride. No, I don't want to bother the guy. I'm sure he gets it a lot, especially here in Chicago. So at the very end, I just thanked him. I tried it, you know. I don't know. That seems to be...
Yes.
Because it would be so annoying to have people like, oh, let me take a picture, let me do all this, like just random people all the time.
We got to take a quick break, Brandon. It's burning, so you know it's working.
The burning lets you know it's a shirt.
And on that note, you two go ahead and burn whatever you need to burn. We're after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. Back in Chicago in the Tribune Tower, we have Esmeralda Leon in traffic. Brandon C. Price, you have posted a very nice photo of the studio. I like that
I'm working shot. On it. I'm being more involved in my Instagram action, so I'm trying to get real artsy and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well done. I like that.
Thank you. I like the
placing, like the way you sort of, you know, the microphone and the window. You see a little bit of Michigan Avenue scaffolding. Apparently, they're doing a little more work on the building.
Yeah, I looked up and I didn't see anything that was about to follow me, but I guess they're doing something.
Yeah. Well, as long as you were right. As long as, I mean, you know, a little work, a little nip tuck here. It's a building that needs a little loving, a little TLC. You know, it's an older building. I'm very excited, as you can imagine, about our Cubs this year. We are trying to get hold of Mark Carmen, but he's been busy. He's been covering the NFL draft was in town. Are you a football fan as well? I can't remember if we're both just really.
I like college football a lot. I mean, I lived in Dallas for so long that the Cowboys I had an interest in a little bit for a little while, but mm-hmm. I just don't have time to follow so many sports. And then I'm pretty hardcore at Auburn fan in college football, at least until it starts going poorly each year. Baseball, I'll watch. I mean, the Braves have the worst record in the league ever. Although I did go to the game on Sunday. I was at that game where we won in 10.
There you go.
That was our sixth win. We are 6-18. We have given up 5 grand slams this year. That's real.
Brandon tried to bet whether or not the Braves would be better or worse than the Yankees this year, and I was so confident that the Yankees would actually be good at baseball, and they are almost as terrible.
It's really, I think it's you, me, Minnesota, right?
8-15, the Yankees.
Man, wow. it's so depressing.
It's really sad.
I went with a ton of Cubs fans on Sunday, and it was awesome.
The Braves and Yankees
pissed off so many people around
me. It's been so long since they've been good. It's just not fair.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you're like two of the best teams for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, there are a lot of people who are, you know, saying that the Cubs are sort of, we're crowning ourselves a little too early. I am not about, you know, I'm not ready to say we're going all the way, we're going to win the World Series. I am so enjoying every victory. It's just so much fun. And we have not lost two in a row yet. We'll lose a game and then come back the next day and just pound it. It's great.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for everybody that I care about that loves the Cubs. I think it's good. And I think Arrieta's really got to start being entered into the conversation as one of the greatest pitchers we've got going right now. I mean, you always hear Kershaw, you hear Greinke, and a couple other names. And I think how long does he have to continue to do this before you're like, okay, he needs to be mentioned in these conversations?
I didn't realize that he wasn't. So I guess, in Chicago, we adore him.
Yeah, I mean, but we're here in the filter of Chicago where everybody thinks that already.
and I have said this before, I do feel bad for the White Sox because they're having an outstanding season. I'm happy for them. I would love for it to be a crosstown classic series. It would be great.
Wow, man, this place would be so violent either way at the end.
Oh, I know. It would be so. The thing is, like, you know, there's really no winning and losing. I mean, it would be bragging rights forever, whoever wins.
Oh, yeah. You know? I would buy supplies and lock the doors for a couple of days. I think I would call off work.
Duct tapes and plastic to the windows in case it goes
chemical. Yeah, just to be careful. I mean, I was here the first year the Hawks won, or the first year that I experienced the Hawks winning, not this most recent one, but the previous one. It was absolute nonsense. Just like,
oh, you should have seen us with the Bulls. It got crazy a couple years ago.
But didn't the Bulls win like so many times that it kind of lost its, I mean, like craziness? I mean, it was great, and I'm really happy for you guys, but...
Yes, we did start to coast a little bit, I think, by the sixth or seventh time.
Yeah, you get used to it, I guess.
That was a little bit ridiculous. See, and that's a thing. We haven't had a team like that in a long. Now that was a dynasty.
Absolutely. They defined dynasty coming into the new millennium.
Yeah, it was spectacular. It was fun to watch those guys too. And I don't watch basketball I for whatever reason, like, I just love baseball, and I may not always know the players on the team with the Cubs. And for the White Sox, for that matter, I just love watching baseball. I get more excited when the Cubs are killing it like they are right now. But with the Bears, I knew the 85 Bears because they were that captivating, as were the Chicago Bulls with Scottie Pippen and, you know, with Crazy Pants, Dennis Rodman. And that's what we called him, by the way. We called him Crazy. Would you say more Crazy Hair or Crazy Pants would be more descriptive?
Crazy Hair.
Didn't he marry himself?
He also married Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But he was the bride.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can call me whatever if I'm getting married to Carmen Electra. Like, I will be the ring bearer of that thing if at the end of the night.
It was they were a spectacle. So much so, Dennis Rodman was such a spectacle. Do you know on the Kennedy, there's a building where they'll change the murals from time to time. It's usually for a bank. They'll do it for different, whether it's the marathon coming up or just a special event. They had painted Dennis Rodman's face on one side, inbound on the Kennedy. And they had his hair on some sort of, like, I don't know if it was wood or whatever it was, and they would change the color of it. So you added to morning rush hour traffic people stopping to see what color his hair was that day.
Wow. It's just so cool when a whole town gets into something so deeply that even the tiny little nuance of something really weird that has nothing to do with the outcome of the game becomes important and, like, bringing people together.
Oh, it was a super crazy time. Oh, the whole team was great. Anyway, we're very excited about the Cubs, and I know that it's too early to anoint anyone. We're 24, 25 games in, and it's just very exciting. We're enjoying this season.
You guys just have to avoid injury. I honestly think it's going to go real well. At least into the second round if nobody else gets hurt.
We got hit hard right out of the gate. Schwarber was out within a week. Within the first week, that was a hard. I was screaming. I didn't realize how devoted I was, how invested I was.
Yeah, but it didn't hurt you that much. And even the bench. No. I mean, Scherzer coming off the bench and just knocking a grand slam, just another grand slam against us. Now we hand them out like candy. But that guy is incredible. I mean, you've got a lot of bats And it, while Schwarber's definitely missed, I just don't think it's going to hurt that team as much.
It's nice to hear. Yeah, why are you guys handing out to me? What is that? And that's more than one pitcher that's falling victim to the Grand Slam.
I mean, we're setting records left and right for absolute terrible baseball. This is like a movie. I'm expecting them to bring in like some like 12-year-old kid who broke his arm and turn our season around.
I'm gonna get what's his name on the mound. You get Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Real quick, Patty, we have Joe to bet. On the line. Pumpkin, he has some comments about the Cubs.
Hey, Pumpkin, what do you think?
Hey, Patty. Hey, listen, here's how sold I am on the Cubs. I'm hanging on to my box of Rizzos.
Oh, your box of Rizzos? What's a box of Rizzos?
Craig says you guys are not aware of that. Jewel, the grocery store, took it upon themselves to box Rizzos. They're a honey-coated oat, just like Cheerios.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope they don't do the same thing. I hope they got his approval and not another Michael Jordan suing Dominic's for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it for, you know, charity, if you will. Helped him out on his income tax, I'm sure.
Sure.
But it's a box of cereal, and it's currently $35 to $40 on eBay.
What?
Yeah.
That's
was it just
crazy.
They'd only made it for like a week or something, and you were just right place, right time?
The deal is, I don't know what they're I've talked to different store managers. They ordered just several pallets, a minimum order. It might have been, I don't know, a dozen pallets, two dozen pallets, whatever. And each store was allocated something like 50 boxes. They flew off the shelves like, you know, blue blazes.
Oh, no, he does know about this. Anthony Rizzo has his own. It's no Wheaties box, but that's next. Says cereal mogul Rizzo. Hold on, I'm trying to find the rest of the story. Yeah,
you have inside information there?
No, I just I'm just trying to find some of these sources. I'm trying to make sure.
Yeah,
the Rizzo. Yeah, he's got his own cereal. Is a honey nut toasted oat cereal.
Just like Cheerios.
Packaged
in
a 14-ounce limited edition collector's box.
You got it.
Holy cat! Well, hold on to your box of Rizzos.
I just thought I'd tell you how devoted I am, kiddo.
Yeah, no kidding. Go Cubbies. Thank you.
Adios,
go Cubs. Mark Carmen says every adults have to stop saying Cubbies. Brandon, what do you think of that?
Why do you have to stop? Well, it's like an adult Tim going by Timmy.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you might be right. Go
but
Cubs.
It's a baby bear.
Cubs, right?
It's a Cubbies. Cub, a Cubby.
I know, but it sounds a little more, I guess, more masculine.
You win the series, you can say whatever you want Cubbies. To whoever you want about anything.
Cubs. I'm good with Cubs. I'm going to go with Carm on that and say Cubs.
That really sounds more masculine to you than Cubbies.
What about C-dubs?
It's still, as Esmeralda said, a baby bear.
Your mascot is a tiny baby bear.
Right.
With a big bat.
I probably still wouldn't fight a baby bear.
No.
Well, it depends on how much of a baby we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like a newborn baby bear, I might be able to fight that.
Well, from what I've seen from the mascot, totally he has tiny little teeth in the front. And he's always so happy.
Well, if you find a baby bear, then you're really screwed because the mother is not far behind. I think that's like a thing.
Yes,
you find one in the woods, you should like get out of there even faster than you just see a regular bear.
It's a trick. It's a trap. Mama bear's waiting. don't mess with Cubbies. Either way, but I'm going to go with, well, if we can get Carm on the line at some point, we might ask him. But you know what? Instead, we'll talk to Rich Lenkov about this lawsuit against Starbucks. Too much ice. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and everyone I've talked to today is just has an opinion on this story that came out that a woman has filed a $5 million lawsuit against Starbucks for putting too much ice in her drinks. She accuses the coffee chain of fraud, negligent misrepresentation, and unjust enrichment. So, of course, the first thing we knew we had to do was call the smarter, brighter, more at the handsome half of legal face-off. We have Rich Lenkov on the line. Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm very well. How do you order coffee? You a hot coffee guy, an iced coffee guy, a frap guy? What do you like? Tea?
And ever since the McDonald's lawsuit, I'm afraid to order coffee because I'm afraid that it'll be hot. So I just I gave it up years ago.
Okay, if we're going to start there, if we're going to go with the frivolous lawsuit about – a lot of people said that. I remember there was a comedian that said, you know, for that much money, I would take a swan dive into the fryer. But I've seen some stories about that. The woman that filed that suit and ultimately won, the temperature at which the coffee was actually burned through her groin. I mean, there was a lot of damage done. I don't know how much you've ever read on that one. Have you ever followed up on that?
Yeah, for sure. We've covered it on the show. We, Yeah, a lot of misconceptions about the case. Stella Liebeck, she was awarded almost $3 million. She did suffer third-degree burns, had some skin grafting.
Yeah.
But,
and ultimately,
yeah, there's a documentary about it, too. I don't know if you saw the Hot Coffee movie.
Yeah, because ultimately a lot of restaurants change the temperature at which they keep their coffee. It was too hot for what should be served. I mean, people could be burning their – I mean, there were a lot of different – you know, usually you drink hot coffee and think, oh, I should have waited or I should have put cream in it. But it was legitimately coffee that was being served too hot. And she happened to be holding the coffee, whether it was on the side. Anyway, that's something where there was obviously an injury, and she had to have surgeries, and it was very painful. In this case, I know that Craig was telling me that you might have an opinion when it comes to suing Starbucks over too much ice in their coffee. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have an opinion too. I think it's nuts. I mean, like, I think like most people in the world, I think when we heard this news today, it's a frivolous lawsuit. These are the kind of lawsuits that I defend every day. I represent, lots of big companies like Starbucks. Suing Starbucks because there's too much ice in iced coffee is nuts, but not surprising.
You say something, Craig, but I have a point to what you do because I think that you're very smart about it, and it's actually then the consumer's responsibility in this point. Go ahead, Craig.
So you saying it's the consumer's responsibility to make the barista aware that maybe there's been a oversight and ice has been put in the glass because,
You prefer less ice.
I ask for more ice. We have the power as the consumer to edit the amount of ice.
I ask for no ice, and as a consumer that goes in and asks for, say, one of their venti, 24-ounce drinks, mm-hmm. I'm expecting roughly 20-some-odd ounces of beverage. And when I get, 14 ounces because it's full of ice, I'm a little sad.
Well, then I get to sue all chip companies. I get to sue McDonald's because the burgers on TV look different.
But there is an
advertised
size. If
this lady wins, she has to share the money with all of us.
There is an advertised, ounces. And then up on the little board, you can ask them, how big a venti is. It's not a mystery. They are advert. So isn't this kind of faulty advertising?
No, not at all. No, not at all, because it's common sense that when you order a drink with the word ice in it, that there's going to be ice in it. And, to say that ice is not, a liquid or not a beverage is just the very definition of insanity. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's an example of, the way these lawsuits have taken over litigation and make a bad name for lawyers. Listen, the reality of this case, and most people don't understand, maybe are not looking from this perspective, is that it's a class action case, and it's an example of hundreds of these type of cases where attorneys jump in and they file lawsuits on behalf of a class of people. And you know who the real winners are in the case? Guess who?
Starbucks.
The attorneys.
Oh, the attorneys. I forgot about you guys. Of course.
Right. The plaintiff's attorneys make millions of dollars. They make 25% of the ultimate results in these cases. So when you hear about, lawsuits over a Subway sandwich not being quite 12 inches or, Southwest Airlines not honoring their expired drink coupons, these lawsuits are not, the litigants, the class, are only getting, coupons. They're getting maybe $25. Who's really making out are the attorneys. So that's what these class actions are based on.
I am curious, Rich. Are you a warm drink guy or a cold drink guy?
I don't drink either. Actually, I've never tasted coffee in my life. I know
that sounds insane
and fantastic. What a burden off of your back.
Yeah, I've never tasted coffee, so I don't drink coffee. But mm-hmm. People in my family too. My daughters, my 11-year-olds actually, love Starbucks. But again, it's common sense. Like in the Subway case, I don't know if you heard about that one, where people said there was a class action on behalf of people who said that it was an 11.75-inch sandwich instead of a 12-inch. I mean, the court. That case settled, but the court found that there's really no damage. There's no noticeable difference. It's just, again, basic common sense that who cares? I mean, who cares a sandwich is a couple inches less than 12 inches.
It is interesting, though, that Rich says that, though, Patty, because sometimes the Starbucks people put a lot of ice in there.
Well, hold on. My bigger question is, they settled that? So when you say they settled, that means Subway was like, we don't want to go all the way to court, so here's some of a bunch of money?
Oh, yeah. It was. I think it was just under $600,000 that Subway paid to settle that case. I mean, listen, ultimately, wow, most of these class actions get settled because exactly what the plaintiff's attorneys are hoping for is that the cost of settling is less than, you know, the ultimate attorney's fees and cost of litigating the case. So
they're going to get paid either way, so that's why they take absolute nonsense lawsuits like this.
Listen, of course, the unfortunate reality of litigation, and I see it every day, is that you sometimes have to settle cases because the exorbitant cost of litigating them are, you know, higher than the cost of resolving them. I mean, thankfully, you know, in my opinion, some corporations draw a line on the sand. A lot of my clients do that, and they say, listen, we don't think there's any liability. We don't think that this case has any merit, so we're going to fight it regardless of how much it costs. But,
wow,
you know, a lot of companies have to do a cost-benefit analysis and decide economically it makes more sense to just, you know, pay something than fighting it.
How much does so this lady who's like, you know what, enough is enough. The ice thing is just too much for me. I'm suing. How much financial investment is coming from her? Like, does she have to have 10 grand just to even have this idea to do it? Or can I, with $5, just go sue somebody when it's convenient for me?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, there are costs involved in any litigation, but, you know, all of these lawsuits on the plaintiff's side are taken on a contingency. So the attorneys front the costs. They front the filing fees. They front, you know, any litigation costs like depositions and discovery. And ultimately, that will be taken out of the settlement. So really, the plaintiffs don't pay anything out of pocket. All these, you know, expenses are fronted by the plaintiff's firm. And if the plaintiff doesn't recover, then the attorney's out of luck. But yeah, when they do recover, then the expenses are deducted from the amount of money that the plaintiff receives.
So they're basically taking a chance on this case. You know, if the attorney that's taking this figures Starbucks is such a big, huge monopoly on coffee, maybe they'll settle because they don't want to have the bad press.
Right.
Is that possible?
Right. I mean,
hey,
sure.
Rich, can you hang on for another segment? We'll ask you some more legal questions. All right, appreciate that. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. Joining us in the studio on Michigan Avenue in the Tribune Tower, we have Bob Ferguson running our show, our engineer of the evening. And thank you so much, Bob. We also have Brandon C. Price. He is the mastermind, the genius behind Vamp. Craig Collins is running the show as our producer. Esmeralda Leon is our, you know, she's always here for us, except for Friday nights. And I really, you know, I love Roger Badish, Esmeralda. So it's good to hear you four nights a week with us. It's fun to have you.
Thanks.
I'm sad that we can't go to Risky Business tomorrow night together, by the way.
I know.
Sort of sad.
I want to see it,
Nick,
too. But
Nick D's movie at Movie Co.
Yeah.
Rich Lenkoff, have you seen Risky Business recently? Did you see it? I'm guessing you were a young man when you saw Risky Business.
I was young. I was not living in Chicago, so it was one of the reasons I moved to Chicago. I figured if I moved here, the same thing will happen to me.
You know what? Actually, now that we're talking about Risky Business, which is, by the way, Nick D's Movie Club tomorrow night at Rosemont, the Rosemont Movie Co. You know, that's something that did you ever think about that as you were studying for your legal degree as a lawyer? Like, you know, someone just deciding, you know what? We'll just go ahead and peddle sex. We'll just go ahead and charge for that. Have you ever come across a case, anything like Risky Business, where someone just decided to, you know, create their own brothel, basically?
Well, funny that you should ask, Patty.
this is totally random. I apologize if I've...
It is. It is. So in my law school, well after I graduated, but probably 10 years afterwards, and this case got a lot of press, there was a law student who, or maybe she actually, I think she graduated. I think she was a practicing lawyer, but she was still in the DeKalb area, so I went to Northern Illinois University for law school, and this graduate of our law school was practicing law by day and by night, the allegation goes, she was a prostitute. She was, you know, she was doing this while she was practicing law, and I believe that she was actually convicted and disbarred. So
those are long work hours.
Very long.
Very long work hours.
Listen, the legal market is tough. Tough to make ends meet.
No kidding. I'm paying those law school debts. I mean, there must be a moment where some people just go, hey, you know, some people want it. I've got what they want. I don't know. It's such a weird path to choose. But
blind man.
The oldest job in the world.
Yeah, but – and what is it – well, okay. So I've opened a bizarre can of worms. But, I mean, because we – you know, look, we'll watch it on television and in movies. There's another series, I think, like on Showtime or one of the cable networks that is now – you know, I think it's called The Girlfriend Experience. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where it just – you know, how do people get away with – and, Rich, I'm not asking if you have any clients right now, but it does seem like you can find ways, whether it's on Craigslist or online or calling an escort or Girlfriend Experience. There are a lot of different ways people are doing this, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's Backpages, which is probably the most visited site for that kind of thing that exists, you know, in almost every city where you could – you know, pick and choose prostitutes. Lot of, you know, I know Tom Dart here in Illinois has been very, very aggressive in going after Backpages, as human trafficking. But, yeah, for sure, easier than ever, I think, to engage in that kind of thing.
What is it, you know, where do they draw the line? I mean, do they go after more street prostitution? I'm sorry. I know that this was not something you had planned on discussing. I just was thinking about risky business. And, you know, that's a topic that has been used in movies more for humor, like, you know, Pretty Woman, Risky Business. Again, there are, you know, it's just kind of something we take kind of casually. We see it in movies and we know there's a very dark side. There's sex slaves trade in the United States and around the world. But, I mean, do you have any sense of, you know, how deeply this runs and how much it can be sort of under the surface?
I mean, I really don't know the prevalence of it. You know, I don't practice in that area. I mean, I know that in Illinois it's a Class A misdemeanor. It could go up to a felony. But, you know, in terms of stats or numbers, I don't know how prevalent it is. I know that, again, like we talked about earlier, it is easier than ever. It's not like, right, you know, back 20 years ago where you would literally have to, you know, drive down certain streets in Chicago to find it. Now, obviously, with technology being what it is, it's easier than ever to,
right,
engage in that.
Have access. Again, I didn't mean to lead you down this bizarre path, because last week we spoke to you about the Hastert case, the Dennis Hastert case. And Brandon, I don't know if you're how familiar you are with this case. The former Speaker of the House, one of the most powerful Republicans at one time, and one of the most powerful men in the country, was convicted of mostly it was federal banking fraud. But really, the judge said it was because of what he had done to young boys. What have you seen? What kind of conversations have you witnessed since then, Rich? As far as like the reaction and the fallout.
Yeah, just to make a couple takeaways since. You know, late last week, a lot of praise for Judge Durkin, the federal judge who handed down the sentence, a lot of praise for him going above the recommendation by Zach Fardin, who is the U.S. attorney who worked out the deal. So a lot of people are praising Judge Durkin for giving Hastert 18 months when the when the government had recommended 6, they worked out this deal for 6 months. And much to the surprise of a lot of us, Durkin gave Hastert 18 months. And, you know, as you mentioned, he went beyond the federal banking law violation, which generally doesn't even warrant an arrest. It's usually a slap on the wrist. So
right.
Durkin said that, you know, Hastert was a serial sexual predator, that had he been able to, under the statute, he would have handed him, you know, a lot harsher sentence. He increase the sentence based on Hastert's failure to comply with the FBI and lied to the government. So, yeah, a lot of praise for Judge Durkin for coming out so forcefully.
Wait, I agree.
I'm sorry. So he was convicted of being a serial child molester and he get
no.
Eight? Okay.
No, he was convicted of federal banking fraud. He was being extorted by one of his victims, and the thing was that there were more than one. And I really, Rich, in the aftermath, I mean, does your mind kind of wander to how not only did he get away with it so long, but this is not something somebody does and stops. You know, there has to have been so many people that covered this up along the way, on so many levels.
Wait, why wasn't he convicted of this?
Sorry. hold on a second, Rich. Let's go to the one thing first, Rich. I mean, have you thought about that, or is anyone talking about, you know, he had to have been doing this his entire career. This is not something you stopped doing.
No, for sure. And you wonder, you know, why no one came out to, you know, talk about this. Inevitably, many people knew. I mean, we had the author of the Chicago Magazine article on Legal Face Off a few months ago discussing how, you know, in Yorkville, where Denny Hastert is from, you know, there's almost a conspiracy of silence about this.
Right.
There was for many, many years. You know, he was such a beloved, you know, local politician, brought lots of money back to the district, was a wrestling coach for many years, was sort of like Mr. Midwest. And people had to know, but no one spoke up, which, you know, is really troubling. It's also, you know, you wonder why the victims didn't speak up earlier, but then you understand
yes.
the psychology of abuse that, you know, especially with someone who's in that authority figure, you understand how difficult it would be to speak up against Denny Hastert, and, you know, you understand why they didn't.
Yeah, Brandon, this was a man who, he was a wrestling coach was it Yorkville, Illinois?
Yes.
Rich, and he had attacked several, I mean, I haven't gone into the details of what they have shared as far as their experiences. As far as I understand, some of it was massages that went too far. There was a young man who demanded money from Hastert, you know, otherwise he was going to share his story. We don't know how many victims there have been. And Dennis Hastert was not only was he one of the most powerful Republicans in the country, he became the Speaker of the House. He also became a very powerful lobbyist, continued to make extraordinary amounts of money, and ultimately agreed to pay up to $3 million to this man who was blackmailing him. So, Brandon, the statute of limitations has run out
okay.
on the young men that he attacked in the 70s and 80s. But what he was indicted in and found guilty of was bank fraud because he was withdrawing more than $10,000, right? Rich, that's the trigger for the government and for the FBI?
Correct.
Right. So if you withdraw and you have to answer as to why you're withdrawing more than $10,000 and he lied about it, it was for this extortion money. And he lied and ultimately, was it both the lying and the reason behind it, Rich?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the mere fact that he was withdrawing that amount of money and was doing it from several banks and didn't report it, you know, that in and of itself was a violation. But again, that doesn't generally even get to the, you know, criminal stage. That usually doesn't get you arrested. It usually gets
right.
you, you know, you just fix it. Even if you are arrested for that, you know, most people just, you know, they don't get prosecuted. But again, of course, most people aren't the former Speaker of the House, and most people aren't withdrawing that money so they could pay $3.5 million for, you know, to cover up sexual abuse of kids. So that's why this case, you know, drew such prominence, and that's why, you know, the feds went after Hastert quite appropriately to the degree that they did. And then it turned, you know, Hastert lied to them. He said he was being extorted when, in fact, this was a deal that he cooked up to silence one of his accusers. And then, you know, that led to the unraveling of the story revealing his sexual abuse. Now, unfortunately, the statute of limitations ran, as you mentioned, for prosecuting him criminally for those acts. But Judge Durkin, to his credit, didn't limit the penalty to just the 6 months that they worked out for the bank fraud, but extended it, saying that this is sort of the maximum that I could give you. I can't prosecute you really for the sexual abuse, but I could prosecute you for obstruction of justice and the bank fraud.
And I think that a lot of people are wondering, you know, here's somebody who was, you know, very vocal about family values and going after the president, after President Clinton, and, you know, talking about gay marriage. It does make you stop and go, okay. There are so many people that already distrust our politicians. And this just seems like such an abuse on so many levels and such a disappointment to it. I don't know. It seems to me that, I don't know, I guess the outrage doesn't seem to be coming out in general, regardless of the political party. It's just somebody who is, you know, seems to call people to a higher moral standard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, no question, especially when you consider, you know, this guy was two heartbeats away from being the most powerful man on earth, someone who had a pretty clean and pristine record. If he was doing this now, again, most of this happened well before he was Speaker of the House, although, you know, we don't know. We don't know if it kept going on, but at least the allegations when he was a wrestling coach, that's well before he was in the House. But if that could happen with, if this could happen with that guy, you know, the logical question is, what's going on out there that we're not aware of? And that's obviously the scary thing.
I agree. Well, thank you. Brandon, did you want to ask anything else? I didn't want to cut you off. I know it's a startling story.
At first, I was upset. I was like, everyone's applauding this man for giving him 18 months. But now that I get it, I am applauding this man.
Yeah.
He did what he could do. That's pretty cool to see.
Well, and the other one takeaway from it, just quickly, is that it is starting or continuing a discussion of eliminating the statute of limitations. I mean, just for the reasons we're talking about, it often does take years and years, sometimes decades, for victims of especially childhood sexual abuse to come forward. And, you know, Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan issued a statement on Thursday saying that, you know, hopefully this will spur some changes to the statute of limitations. Even though Illinois has a pretty long one, I think it's 20 years, this is a good example of why that's not long enough, that maybe there should be no statute of limitations at all for this type of crime.
And this type of crime being sexual assault, and would you say, I mean, because there's also a backlog of rape kits that have been there for decades, you know, if we have a statute of limitations, I mean, what's the point of even holding on to those unless you can use them in you know, collaboration with another case? It's kind of disheartening.
Well, I don't understand. Like, so what's the benefit? Like, just to protect people from digging up 30-year-old stuff that may or may not have happened? Is that why we have this in place?
Yeah, I mean, the benefit of this statute of limitations or the logic behind that or any statute of limitations is that at some point, you know, judicial economy and just, you know, reliability of evidence warrants that you have to shut, you know, the ability to bring a lawsuit, because after 20 years, let's say the idea is people's memories fade, evidence is gone, evidence, you know, disappears, and therefore the reliability of evidence, the reliability of testimony is such that it's hard to prosecute them. On the other hand, you know, the issues or the reasons you would eliminate a statute of limitations is for the very reasons we're talking about, especially when it comes to sexual abuse among children. You know, children are not going to come forward until they're adults. You know, they're just conditioned to respect authority. This is a great example. They had, you know, the survivors network of people abused by priests, SNAP. They had the president of that advocacy group very prominent after the Hastert case last week. And she said basically these victims have been closed out of the courtroom because it takes them so long to tell their story. So, you know, I think specifically for victims of childhood sexual abuse, there's a lot of logic to eliminating the statute of limitations.
Well, let's talk about this again sometime, because I'd like to know what it would take to move that forward. I agree. I think it's something that has to happen and should happen. I'm going to go yell at people in Springfield. Thank you so much, Rich Lankov. You can find him at WGNplus.com. Legal Face Off drops on the weekends, right? Is it every Friday?
Every other Friday. That's assuming that, you know, my co-host is awake and shows up for the show.
But someday I'm going to get in so much trouble with Jason Whiteside. I just know I am. It's going to be a bad day for me.
I got your back.
All right, appreciate that. Thanks so much. That's Rich Lenkoff. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, in the Allstate Showcase studio. I think it's kind of a surprise and stunned Brandon C. Price trying to wrap his mind around the story that we were talking about. Do you not follow news a whole bunches?
I'm so busy reading How Good the Braves Are, it's hard to get back into real news. I'm trying to redo my Twitter following situation, so that's where I get my news a lot, and my feed is messed up right now.
Yeah, your Facebook friends and Twitter friends are not, this is a weird story too. I think that, this is not someone who was the Speaker of the House while you may not have even been at voting age yet. As a teenager, why would you follow? Some people do. I'm not saying they don't. I mean, I watched the Iran-Contra hearings when I was in grade school, but that's just me. I was just weird that way.
It's not that I'm not interested. I don't do Facebook at all. I mean, I have one so I can be tagged and stuff, but I never – and I think that's where most people see most stories, especially bigger stories, legal stories, political stories. I feel like that's – and, I don't own a TV.
Right.
So it's kind of I have to go out of my way to get it. So I just trust that Patty Vasquez will inform me every night.
I'll do my best. Let's see what we can do after the news. I have to go fix this bed. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles, where I am house-sitting for some very good friends of mine and friends of the show, actually, Yenny Alvarez, who we spoke to a couple weeks ago when the president was visiting Cuba. She fled Cuba as a young child with her family. And, we've talked to her about many issues in the United States when it comes to Latino relationships. And she's also has been the star of one of the most successful sitcoms in Telemundo history. Was Familia Beltran, I believe was the name of the show. Oh, she'll kill me if I don't get it right. She's also a highly acclaimed voiceover actress. We also staying with Mark DiCarlo. That's her husband. And I'm frantically trying to fix their bed, Craig and Brandon.
Oh, how'd you break it?
Is it what now?
I was sleeping in their bed all week, and I've been trying to change. They're coming in tonight. And so I wanted to make sure their sheets were all fresh for them. They don't want to sleep on Patty sweat. So I've been trying to change. I've washed washed their fitted sheet and their towels, and the fitted sheet became entangled with a towel and got all clumped up, and it's all still wet. Yeah. So
are they late? It sounds like they might be late.
I hope so. And I also lost one of the. I don't. In transit, I've lost one of the pillowcases. So that's happening.
You mean from one room to the other?
Hey now.
Yes.
How? All right.
I'm hoping it's in the fitted sheet as well. I have to go back down during the next news break at whatever time it is. 1:30 your time? Yes. So that's all happening. But to see, and this is the thing. Maybe I shouldn't have been in the hot tub earlier today. I should have been working on all the, the housework I had.
Should have just brought the stuff in with you.
Yeah, that would be totally.
I mean, it's hot water, a little soap, some bubbles, fine.
Esmeralda, have you spent time in a hot tub?
It's been a while. It's been a minute. I went to the King Spa. That's a hot tub, right?
Yeah,
just a large tub.
And that's okay. But this hot tub is in Mark and Yenny's backyard under beautiful trees. And it's also one that is only used by them and their friends. So it has it doesn't have that sort of feel of thousands of people.
They change the water every day.
I wanted to ask them about that. I'm going to change the. I don't know how.
I hope they don't out there. Water's kind of like a precious thing, right?
Yes, I've only taken one. I did take a bubble bath because they also have a big deep tub in their bathroom with jets. But I only did that once because of that reason. I didn't fill it all the way up. I did not. I was not. I tried to cover the jets so I could get that experience.
And then you took a really fast shower before or after?
After, okay. Of course.
You showered after a bath.
See?
Oh
no! Yes!
What?
Yes, this is about to happen.
Are you kidding me?
No. Let's all pause. Let's live in this moment. Brandon C. Price, why do you have an issue with that?
Why wouldn't you shower after
bath? No, wait, let's not taint his opinion.
Let's like look at the definition of bath from
okay, weird.
To bathe.
Weird start.
So I am bathing in a bath, so I have achieved cleanliness.
How do you rinse?
Yeah.
In the same water with the soap and your goo what stuff?
Goo.
First off, I am not generally covered in goo.
This is the same argument that Craig makes.
Wow.
This should be plus one for a lot of things.
Okay, so here's the thing, too. Brandon, you strike me as a guy that maybe only bathes for 20 minutes. Do you take long baths, or are you in there for a shorter amount of time? I have not taken
a bath for a cleanliness purpose, more recreational for my baths, and that's probably once a year. I mean, I'm 6 foot tall. Like that, there's generally not a bath in an apartment I can afford that is going to accommodate me and my guest. So I'm a shower man. Now I do stand in the shower forever. I absolutely love the shower, but either way, if I can recall back to a time where I used baths to clean myself, I certainly wasn't like, all right, shower time. Soap is in the water, and soap is what it does is
you
know, right, but dirt attaches
Brandon
to the soap and off
stuff,
of you.
And I'm encouraged to stand and applaud, so I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go ahead and stand and applaud. That's really interesting. But that soap is still in the tub where you need to rinse.
Where it's clean.
So how does that work?
So the dirt's attached to the soap because of science. I'll go with that.
I've seen the bubbles.
Yeah, so you've scrubbed yourself off with the soap water. Now the dirt is in the soap water. All you do is stand up, clean and refresh, towel off, and go
home. Where are you cleaning and refreshing?
The soap water. It took all the dirt off. The dirty soap water.
Right. Yeah, but then you have to rinse.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, like, standing up as the
standing
water which was
you?
On you
right.
now falls off of you.
No, right.
That's rinsing away.
No, because yeah.
if I have
on.
A glass that I'm washing in, like, a sink of water, I put it in the soapy water, and then I take it out, and then I wipe it off with a cloth, and we're good to go here.
I can't. We need to get a scientist now.
Wow, I am not drinking any glasses
Random
from your
thoughts
house,
with
Brandon
Craig and Brandon.
Price.
Don't shower after you bathe.
There's no point. You are clean. You have cleaned yourself.
Yeah, I'm not gonna interrupt my once a week shower for a bath right beforehand.
What is a proper way to take a bubble bath? Well, you're not taking bubble baths anyway, are you? Why do you have to rinse after? I'm Googling now.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you. So I'm sorry. This is Esmeralda and Patty. You believe that you have to rinse, or is this like common?
We are not alone.
No, that's why I wonder
right.
what
we
the majority.
We have to rinse because we've been sitting
else.
In our
Should
own
Should we do a
soup?
Twitter poll? Like, I need to know, like, out of the world. Now, do you guys all call it taking a bath, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you call it?
Well, I call it taking a bath because I, too, am normal. But there are people, especially in the South, that call it taking a tub.
Well, okay, and I'm going to go ahead and just figure that this also is an issue for all body parts. But here's an interesting point. If you are female, you should be certain to rinse your private parts well with warm water after, enough to make certain you rinse all the soap off. If you don't, you risk yeast and UTIs. Now, there are other orifices that we all have, urinary tracts, right? We have urethras. And I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. This is such a great topic right now.
What about a cup?
We all have urethras. Let's all pause and think about that.
Everybody in the world.
Yeah.
What about a cup? You got a cup in the bath. You stand up. You just like.
I'm not a seven-year-old.
All right. Well, then a vase. But you stand up. You run the faucet and fill the thing. And then you just kind of rinse yourself off.
Wait. But that means you're still using clean water.
Yeah, but not a whole nother shower. I'm trying to compromise with you. You turn the shower on just long enough for you to slowly stand up out of the bath, step out, turn the shower off, drain the bath.
Well, that means you're still rinsing. So you're on our side now.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm just trying to make everyone happy. I think you can just get out.
You definitely have made Craig happy. You can go ahead, like, you know.
We didn't plan this. There was no pre-conversation. No.
He keeps a board right up against the glass. He's writing for what I should say.
I believe. let's see. I'm trying to find the Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Okay. I'm trying to find there's got to be some study on this. I can't imagine that this is a.
I have a friend who showers after every trip to the bathroom, regardless of the point of the trip.
I'm sorry.
How
what?
Does that work?
Well, I guess I mean, like, either toilet or bath or anything. That's all. The second it happens, even if just a real quick number one action, he has real trouble with any sort of public restroom of any kind because he's got to towel and, like, rinse off and everything.
Does he at least just the bottom half?
You know, I haven't gotten.
Or does
the
he go like he
it?
Just entirely wets himself?
I know he travels with, like, wet napkin kind of things.
Well, that's smart.
But just to mitigate it. But yeah, I mean, people have different levels of cleanliness requirements.
I did hear some good arguments for bidets.
I tell you what, I have a terrible bidet story, Patty, if you don't mind.
Hold on a second. I don't want to share too much information about Mark and Yenny, but they have a fabulous bidet. I'm sorry, with a remote control. It's front to rear. It oscillates. Yes.
I've always been curious about that. That part. It's like, your butt's wet. Now what?
It is so,
it's not my butt.
It is the worst. I cannot imagine.
The whole nether region's wet.
There's
now what do you do?
So many amazing quotes from the last few minutes of this show. Well, my butt's wet. Now what? I just want to repeat this stuff. We have Tony on the phone. Tony has some bath thoughts.
All right. Before we talk about bidets, let's go to Tony with bath thoughts. I think we need music for bath thoughts. Yes, Tony?
Yeah, I do. I take both baths and showers.
Okay. Do you recommend bathing and rinsing after you bathe?
Yes.
Right? Why? What's your reasoning?
Well, because you get all the soapy scum off from when you bathe.
Yes. You can't rinse off soap in soapy water.
No. Plus, I listen to music, too.
See, so one of the problems here is that we're discussing a bath as if it has to have bubbles in it, and then the water is really soapy.
No, not
if you
even.
If you don't put bubbles in it, the amount of soap that gets in there when you're just cleaning yourself.
Well, I don't put bubbles in my bath.
Because you're a man, Tony. That's correct.
But yeah. The bubbles shouldn't matter. It's just soap in
the
general.
The bubbles add soap, of course.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Did all of your parents, Tony, Patty, did you guys' parents do this? Is this an inherited trait?
What?
Mine did.
So that's how you learn. So
okay, if we're going to go deep, dark secrets, no, I can't really explain this. My mother said there was a point in my life as a child that I would lock the bathroom door and not let her in. I wouldn't let her rinse me anywhere, make sure I was taking a proper bath, about the age of 4 or 5. And I would just take baths, and I would play in the bath water. And I remember, like, you ever do that thing when you were a kid and, like, was slosh back and forward, like, making waves in the tub? Like that
yes.
Kind of, oh, yeah. Oh, my God, totally. I love that. Right. All that stuff. I remember I was at school one time, and someone called me a greasy Mexican. Because the thing was, I was taking baths, but I wasn't, like, I wasn't scrubbing, I wasn't rinsing, I was just playing in the bath.
Because, again, there seems to be a line to the amount of time you spend in the bathtub to when the grime and grease actually can affect you more. Say you do a 10-15 minute bath, you will feel clean with no bubbles. If you go to that like 45 minute one, that's when all the juices there. It's very scientific, people.
Yeah, but I don't think Patty was using soap.
Right. So again,
well, I was
child,
using Pink Panther.
Like, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's funny because I had the Pink Panther bath mitts. I don't know what I was doing with that.
Bath mitt?
Just the mitt?
I had it like the Pink Panther's face, and I was.
But did it have soap on it?
It was exfoliating.
Yeah, that's
pink. Exfoliating when I was 7.
Smooth as skin.
I had bubble bath too. Yeah, no, I was using all the bubble bath stuff, but I was still dirty. And I'm guessing because I was in the water for a long time.
Because you were playing for a long time. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You weren't really focusing on the cleanliness.
So when someone called me a greasy Mexican, I became a bit of a.
Well, that person's also horrible. So.
Well, we were kids. You know, that happens. In my neighborhood. Fun times. It was good. What was I talking about?
Well, we can take a
selfie.
Break.
We're gonna talk about how bidets like are awful.
Yes, we're talking about bidets after this. I hope you all stay tuned because I know I want to know. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studios West, where I have access to a lot of really cool stuff in the house that I'm staying. There's a hot tub. There's a bathtub with jets. There's a really beautiful shower that has a view of the forest and the hills outside. And they have a bidet. And the thing about that, though, is it seems pretty personal to use somebody else's bidet. I mean, it just seems like that's intense. I tried to think about who's been there before. Anyway.
The water's not recycled.
No, it's not.
I mean,
not.
It is in a way, but not like that.
I mean, I don't think so, right? I know. I've found it to be very helpful, but Brandon C. Price has found that his experience is otherwise.
I've only used one once, and it was Posen actually had one. And he swears by it, too. And I was curious, and I was like, all right, you know, try everything twice. So I hopped on.
I don't know if you're supposed to hop on. I mean, you're like there and then you just activate.
I was really excited. But so at the, you know, at the end, when it came time to activate the bidet, it was like this whole electronic thing that had a panel on the wall.
Right.
So, you know, there's all these different little options, like there's like a staccato or just like a nice scream.
Right.
And so I'm like, I hit it or whatever.
Pulsating and oscillating, a front to back kind of situation.
Well, you know, I start to experience it and I'm like, okay, well this, I don't know. I just didn't seem in my head, maybe it was just a mental thing, like it was like I was walking away clean and fresh like I wanted to be. But what I didn't understand was that you must turn it off. It doesn't have like a 90-second timer thing. I sat there for 10 minutes. Like, and knowing that if I stood up, it would go everywhere. And I had no idea what to do.
I'm stupefied by what your experience was, but there's a button that says stop.
I'm sure. Yeah. I think if in retrospect, there probably was a very clear button, but having been completely, like, the whole concept is foreign to me. So, I mean, like, I'm turning on the heater, I'm turning on the fan, which there's a fan, Esmeralda, at least on this one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I'm still, like, now it's warm water blowing around. like,
wow.
It took a very long time, and I was very uncomfortable. And I still, after 10 full minutes of bidetting, did not feel like it had done what it was supposed to. I just can't imagine only living that
way. Well, one, did anyone come get you? Or like, hey, what's going on in there?
No, I eventually made the discovery of the stop button or whatever it was. I'm a person who iPhones in the bathroom. So I was just like, well, let's check the Chive. I'm going to get on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm traumatized. I'll never do it again.
I can imagine. Well, yeah, I mean, like, you're kind of waterlogged. Yourself an enema.
Do you have to wipe at all?
Yeah,
not an option.
I would think you would wipe just because water alone, it's got to be quite a strong stream, I would think sometimes.
I became numb towards the end of the strength of the stream. I just wanted out so bad.
Anyone that just tuned in and doesn't know what we're talking about,
bidets.
This is bidets and Brandon's trouble using them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww. I mean, like, well, I mean, it's not the kind of thing you can have someone walk you through either. You've got to.
What do I do?
I mean, it's not like you're going to be, okay, this is what you do now. I mean, you're not going to have someone give you a tutorial.
Does it come with, like, an instructional manual of some kind?
No, look.
With like
learning
pictures.
To freshen.
Yeah, like on the airplane, you know how they do the photo album?
Probably, but no one's keeping it.
Bidet your child before you bidet yourself.
You should keep a little pocket in the bathroom just for that.
There should be some sort of like visual diagram.
So you want to use a bidet.
Right.
This is how to.
So you're feeling not so fresh.
Why didn't you Google it while you were sitting there 10 minutes?
Yeah, to be honest, with technology today, you could even have a little video playing on a loop if you have a bidet.
I was just sure it would stop. You know, and like we were like 5 minutes and 6 minutes, and I'm like, wow, these seem inefficient because you have to sit here for so long, but I trust that this will stop when it knows that I'm done.
I don't want to push the conversation in a completely different direction.
Please.
But I'm about to.
It's fine.
What he just said reminds me of the first time I went to a strip club.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's get this thing highbrow.
Because
come on.
I didn't know if you get a lap dance that you have to eventually tell someone to stop.
What? You have to tell them to stop?
Correct.
I thought it was a timed thing.
It's a song, I guess, is how they time it out. But if you don't, like, say at the end of the first song, okay, this is completed, they'll just do another song.
Mm-hmm. But don't you give them money?
Yeah. At the end, you give them.
Oh,
you don't
at the
do
end.
It per song as well. That would be very awkward.
I thought you paid up front, and then they'd be like, okay, give me more money.
It's like tarot card or psychic reading.
Should they?
They get your original fee, and they keep digging.
Right.
Craig, as a dispenser at one point in my life, of lap dances.
Well, especially if they come up and they like ask you if you want one, and then your friend is like, oh, he's never done one before. I'll pay for it. Send him back there. you would think that maybe the guy doesn't understand.
I
so wait, how long did you go?
So
yeah. What did this cost
would you? Well, okay, that's a totally different conversation. But on a per song, $10.
Okay.
Ten songs.
Was it $10 lap dances?
It was $20. That was the discount.
Wait a minute. You went for 10 songs.
Correct. And then she asked for a tip. I had to give her $200, and then she asked for a tip.
How tired must she have been?
I don't know. To be honest.
No, Esmeralda.
That's not for 10 songs.
Actually, no, there's a lot of questions. To be honest, at a certain point,
you've done what you came to do.
Yeah,
she has no moves left. We're casually chatting now. I guess
there's a strip club we went to that it was so run down in West Texas that it was Carrie. You picked your own songs. Like you picked on the jukebox what song they had to dance to. So
well, and the dancers could. Well, okay. Anyway, as I've mentioned this on the show before, I have dispensed lap dances myself, and you get to pick your own. I mean, like, especially when you're doing the. When you're on the stage, when you're doing the pole dancing, you get to pick your own.
Right, but this one we got to pick the music.
That's well, and generally the DJs would probably take it, you know, a tip. I'm guessing you had to tip the DJ for that.
No. There was BYOB. Oh, so you could roll in with coolers, and just see if she can dance to Freebird. Like it was just, I was just awful.
By the way, Craig, I would never let you. If you know, I would. There is a point where there, and that's why I didn't enjoy it. I mean, there were a lot of reasons I didn't enjoy it. But I don't like the idea of tricking people.
It's such a weird and bizarre. And I feel like she knew. I had no idea what was happening.
I mean, that's at least 30 minutes.
She even got called up to the stage to do one of those pole dance, and she went to the bouncer. Was like, no, I gotta keep doing. I got the lap dance in the back.
I got these guys.
He has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, like.
Aww.
Good talk. We've all had it.
Lesson learned. More after this on 720 WDW. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. And I've listened to WGN. Before I even worked for WGN, before I ever got this wonderful opportunity, I've been a fan since I was a kid. I listen to WGN all the time, and I would do it whether I worked for WGN or not. And Bill and Wendy were talking about something earlier today. It's weird, Craig, now having this job, being a host. And we've talked about this, where I have to start calling you and leaving you messages about what I think.
Yes.
Because I can't call Bill. I can't call. Like, I want to be a caller, too. I'm a listener.
Right.
And I want to jump. I've texted them in the middle of conversations. And
we've
I've
thought about calling on the way driving here.
You can call. And they had a great conversation today about this ad that Old Navy ran before the weekend, and it featured... Well, here, let's listen to Bill and Wendy talking about this.
We're actually going to be jumping around a little bit, Patty. My computer's down, but this is audio we have.
Look at us. Old Navy, my interracial family loves your new advertisement. Love has no color, says another person on Twitter, and it's two women.
And there you go.
Well, that's another thing. That's a little side issue, but...
At Old Navy ran an ad. It was a guy with kind of longer blondish hair, a woman who is African-American and their daughter is African-American. And people started complaining that basically, you know, you're shoving diversity in my face. I'm tired of this. And, you know, it was such a strange reaction. I mean, I mean, there are people who are waiting for stuff like this to be angry about. Like,
I'm tired of diversity is kind of a real lame thing to say. God, I'm so tired of seeing this. Like, come on. What's wrong with you?
Well, I mean, the thing is that, like, how can you be tired of something that companies have shied away from, really? It should just be like, oh, there's a couple, instead of like, oh, there's a white guy with a black woman. You know, and there are less, I think, overt jokes or comments made, but I think that people still give a side, like, oh, look at that. It should just be there's a couple.
Well, hopefully this is one of the last generations that we have to deal with that, because this is one of the first generations that so much is coming at you all the time. All the information, all the ads, things you see all the time. So ideally we... like do things like Old Navy's done and inundate people with the norm or what the norm should be with the quote unquote diversity we're all getting tired of. And then this all goes away in a generation or two.
Well, and there was one tweet about enough with the miscegenation. You know what's funny? Wendy was trying to say this one as well. This is not a word that comes up for me. miscegenation, which is the interbreeding of people considered to be of different racial types. Someone actually tweeted that word out. And
a lot of characters for Twitter.
It is a lot of you taking up all your space. But yeah, it's the idea that you are somehow, and I remember when I started dating my husband, and he hates when I tell this story, but, I told him years ago that the gloves are off. He is of Irish background. His entire, family is Irish and Welsh. They're very, you know, very proud of their lineage, their heritage. And when I met one of his sisters, let's call her Catherine, not her name, Craig.
Oh, wow. That's new.
Because, and she knows. But the first time I met her, she said, oh, so I understand that you're Mexican. The moment I met her, she brought it to my attention that I was bringing in something new to the family.
Did you know you were Mexican at the time?
I did know. I was quite aware.
All right.
And heads up. Yeah. You're still Mexican.
I so am. And she asked me if I felt like a Mexican. Like, that was her, honestly, the first conversation.
Did she define what that would feel like for you?
Well, she was hoping that I would.
Okay.
I guess.
Got it.
Do you wake up every morning with a sombrero? It grows in every morning?
I sweat chorizo, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a delicious breakfast.
I feel so Mexican today.
I'm feeling so much more Mexican than I did yesterday. Do you feel like a Mexican? When I think that, if I had that moment back, the very first exchange we had, I probably would have asked her, do you mean because I don't look what you expect a Latina to look like? I'm guessing, I don't know what she meant. It was such a bizarre, I had never been asked that question. I've been asked a lot of other things. Like, if I say I'm Irish and Mexican, people say things like, how did that happen? But
when a man loves a woman.
I know. They make it sound like it was a factory accident or something. I don't know. It was so sad. But, you know, because I just grew up this way, being of, I guess, miscegenation, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird when I'm reminded of it. When, for example, my sister-in-law, she always reminds me that I'm Mexican. And she will say things about Griffin, who she'll say things like, oh, I can't get over how Mexican he looks. Almost to remind me, like, I've brought something into the family that was not invited. You know what I mean? Like, somehow I've muddied the waters. So when I see words like this, it reminds me of that. There is a subtlety some people have of, like, oh, I'm, even my my dad's ex-wife said about one of my nieces who had freckles and blue eyes and blonde hair. She said, now that's a real side of our family smile. You know, and it was, that's the look of our side of the family, as opposed to the, you know, the rest of us, I guess.
How do you not just rip these people's heads off?
I do stand up comedy instead.
Like, I would just go Godzilla on everyone.
I know.
If you harbored anger every time someone was stupid around you, do you know how upset you'd be all the time?
Well, yeah. Esmeralda, well, I'm kind of angry. It's like, we're like the Hulk, Esmeralda, aren't we? That's our secret.
Yeah.
We're always angry.
What if the Hulk feels Hulkish?
There was a dad who asked me when I was in second grade. I was over at my friend's house, and he asked me where my folks were from. And I'm from Chicago. He goes, no, I mean, like, you know, your folks from around here. And, you know, I started to understand what he was asking. And I said, my mom was from Mexico. And he goes, well, how about your dad? And I said, he's Irish. And he goes, oh, well, you're okay then. And but then he said, how did your dad get a Mexican one?
Well, you can't say one.
Yeah.
One changes that sentence.
Really? Without one, it's an okay sentence?
How did you get a Mexican rug?
What?
You know, like, where did you get that Mexican
exactly
food?
Brandon, that's exactly, like, I imagined my dad, like, at a store, and there was just a clearance table, and all that was left were the Mexican ones. Yeah, so I mean, like, it is familiar to me when I read these, because, you know, I know Bill and Wendy were surprised there's still this attitude, but having grown up with people who are both my age or older and sometimes younger, saying things like that, just, and I'm Irish and Mexican, imagine, you know, being black or being, and I have a niece who's Irish, German, and Japanese. And she gets all kinds of comments, and people will say this, it's always this comment, and Esmeralda, you've gotten this, you're so exotic looking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, thanks.
Yeah,
cool. Well,
you're saying I'm dark. I hear you say exotic. I hear dark.
I mean, that's the thing
different.
Is, what's crazy is that this happens even within ethnicities.
Yes.
My mom got so much trouble because she's Mexican and my dad's Guatemalan. And the Guatemalan side, my dad's side, they just did not really like her. They just looked down on her.
I dated a kid in high school. Let's call him Robert, because that was his name. Cordero.
Oh, there we go.
Name.
There we go. There it is. Now we're back.
His mother, he was Puerto Rican, and his mother was so angry that he was dating me, a Mexican and an Irish. Yeah, it was. It's weird when that happens. They're within the community. You're right, Esmeralda. We look down on each other. How do we expect anybody to respect us if we can't respect ourselves? I guess. I don't know. Anyway. When you see an ad, though, I guess I'm one of those people. I enjoy when I see, you know, families in advertisements that seem to reflect reality. Doesn't that make sense? Shouldn't that?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
All right then.
Yes. Do you want any more of this Bill and Wendy stuff?
Sure. What else? I don't know.
Had ads that feature gay couples in them
because they're out there.
Because they're out there.
Oh my God. And
sometimes even have money to spend. And they've kind of taken a hit or two over the same exact thing.
Yeah.
I just would like to know what the problem is.
Just old world thinking?
No, it's Old Navy.
Old Navy thinking.
It's not.
There you go. Nice old little Navy. Old Navy joke.
Did you listen to the whole thing? Was there anybody that called in, like, trying to defend?
Yeah, there were callers.
Against it?
Oh, no, I don't know. I think all the callers were on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there was one caller who said that that he thought it was a tactic by Old Navy to get us to talk about it. And then he started talking about a little bit of, I mean, Bill asked him if he was a conspiracy theorist. But he was talking about, I think in Chicago, how there are only hand dryers, but not paper towels. But if you go to Wisconsin, there's both, and they support the paper industry. So I wasn't sure how they got onto that topic, but that was what that.
Well, I could see. I mean, yeah, it's part trying to cause a
stir.
People to talk. It's advertising.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, you know what? We're all talking about Old Navy right now. We've said Old Navy 100 times on the radio. They won either way.
Well, enough of these ads happen and people don't react to them. Eventually, and hopefully that is the design, we won't notice it. It'll just be normal.
They'll cash in on the extra attention until it's normal, and then they'll, you know, go hard on something else that people are unfortunately not willing to accept as normal.
I did find that I wanted to go shopping at Old Navy when I saw this. And I also, last week with Target, when they, you know, they had put signs up that their bathrooms are gender neutral and people started a petition to stop shopping at Target. I'm like, oh, I have to get, like, some sort of subscription.
Why don't you just not use the bathroom at Target if you're that much of a loser anyway? Like, just go shopping because of the incredible deals and then leave.
And also, those backwards people, I don't need them shopping at Target.
Yeah.
Fine. More room for me to hang out.
Yeah, more stuff in my size. Just saying. Oh, man. All right. Craig, have we ticked off any of our texters?
It doesn't appear that we have yet. No.
All right. Yeah. Mostly on the hot tub selfies.
We can take a break and see what comes in.
All right. Let's see who our celebrity wake-up call is, because I'm not sure if we got in trouble last week, but I think karma is a good thing for one of our friends of the show. More after this on 720 WGN. So you're listening pretty late, and last time I was hanging out with you, pretty late. We had Scott Stantis on last Thursday. Now, Brandon, have you been? You've been with us when we've done our pretty late wake up call, our pretty late, pretty early.
Oh yeah,
wake up call.
Absolutely.
We called a gentleman who works for the Chicago Tribune. Scott Stantis is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and he was telling a story about John Cass. He has told the story several times about how he became a Cubs fan. And earlier in the week, we had Steve Dale on, pet expert extraordinaire. Steve Dale has kind of had a little feud with John Cass, so we thought it would be fun to call one John Cass, who is a bit of an ornery columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He was such a good sport about it. We had a great conversation. We were all a little scared. I'm not gonna lie to you. Scott Stantis was terrified because he didn't want John to think he had given us his number. As it turns out, it was in our collection. By our, I mean Craig's. Craig, how are you doing? Did you get any blowback from that, by the way?
Absolutely none.
Yay.
No, he said he'll do it again.
Yeah, we like that. But we don't want him to expect it either.
Yeah, we got to wait until he thinks it's not coming again.
Speaking of surprising people.
Yes? Are we on the phone?
No. I've got to dial it. But we are about to call.
Yes. We're going to call Scott Stantis. See what we did there? That's turnaround's fair play. I'm just saying. Let's turn the tables on him. We'll see if he answers. Although I think he keeps his phone on in case his sons call, because he says they never call him. He's always waiting for a call from them. This would be kind of sad. Although he'll know it's us.
Do you get? Oh, sorry.
Let's see.
No, it's okay. It's just a ringtone, Brandon. You can keep talking over it.
What if he answers right as I say something?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Two.
I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Two in there.
Two. The rest of it. Can guess the rest of it.
Right. If someone can call Scott based on that, they are an amazing two. Human.
Do you guys have Chris Jones's number from the Tribune? I'd really like to talk to him about some reviews I've received in the past.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Are we recording?
We
already?
Are now leaving a message for Scott.
Oh, hey, Scott Sanders. It's Patty Vasquez.
Greg Collins.
Brandon C. Price.
Esmeralda Leon.
And Bob Ferguson is engineering the show tonight. It's not his fault that we're calling you.
He's waving hard.
Yeah, there you go. Hi, Scott Santos. We thought it was only fair that we call you since and it was not your fault that we called John Cass. So we want to go on the record one more time and say you did not in any way, shape, or form have any part in that. You were an innocent bystander. We dragged you along for the fun. But we've had a fun show tonight, I think. Haven't we, Craig?
Yeah, we've had a great show tonight.
A lot of good pull quotes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really good sentences on tonight's program.
Turns out that some of us need instructions on how to use a bidet.
Yeah, it's
step by step.
Some of us will never use one again.
Right. Well, I think that you should take another chance. I think that if you could, if there were a bidet for your emotional well-being, if we could just rinse that.
Yeah. if we just buy flood that product.
I really think I'm a little sad that you're Craig. We didn't even ask if you've ever.
Oh no! I don't understand the idea.
You understand the idea of a bidet?
Well, I know what it does. No one has to explain to me what happens. I do get that part. I don't think it would be sufficient.
It is not.
Oh,
right.
What?
I think that
yours is not high pressure enough then, Brandon.
I'm a man who needs to be clean.
All right.
Can I say this real quick? I saw something about bidets and how they're good. Imagine, if you're not using a bidet, imagine cleaning a plate with a dry napkin.
Well, I will say,
I'm
a
that.
Huge fan of the wet wipe. I believe the wet wipe will revolutionize the way we clean ourselves in that
situation.
Now, do
you flush that? Do you flush or do you toss that?
You do. Well, I think you have to use a careful combination of the original toilet paper and the wet wipe so as to minimize the use of the wet wipe, which is more expensive, and to also save your septic system.
I would think.
Yeah, you go both, and you're clean, you're refreshed, and you're not chafed or chapped. I'm telling you, it's the way to go.
Yeah, there you go, Craig. Not chafed or chaffed or.
I don't understand how cleaning a plate with a napkin is exactly the same.
Think about it.
No, it's not. It's not. I know where you're trying to go.
The plate.
But especially if the plate sat out for a while, this is not the same thing. Those are not two comparable activities.
Just saying, a plate with stuff on it.
Right, but if you had an unlimited supply of napkins, you could probably clean it.
I don't know if you'd clean it that well, though.
Yeah, I mean, how are you gonna get all the gunk off of there? You want to get all?
Exactly.
You don't want to leave any. You don't want to leave.
Okay, and it depends on the food that we had on the plate.
No,
if it's crusting,
you'll always leave something.
And if there's gravy or if there's some sauce that's hardened a little bit, or
wow,
now you're just smearing it all.
Exactly, you're just smearing it all over.
Do you wipe the plate front to back?
Do you stand up to wipe the plate?
I think you wipe the front first, and then you do the back.
Do you bunch the towel, or do you fold the towel?
I don't understand the show tonight.
What we're saying is you need a moisture.
Buy a dishwasher.
Yeah, that was one of our fun topics tonight, Scott.
By the way, going back to whether or not you rinse after taking a bath,
right.
One listener asked if I rinse my dishes after I wash them. I do rinse my dishes before I put them in the dishwasher. Because you want to make sure, again, all the crusty,
it's
baked down there.
It's Brandon and Craig over here are like, no, you just dip it in the soapy water and then pull it out.
That is not what you do in a bath. I do not jump into the water and jump out and feel clean.
But that's essentially what...
Other stuff happens.
If you had a sink full of dishes and you're scrubbing them...
Okay, no one else gets in the bath with me. I am alone in the scenario.
You have one
dish, one type of meal.
It's one plate. And it's a
you scrub it,
water
and you don't
totally
rinse, you don't run water over it. You just pull it out of the sink and eat off of it.
So what I'm going to do when I go home, because I think we... Oh. I wanted to answer this.
I think you should call back.
We have more. There's more to talk about.
There's so much to talk about. Okay, what are you going to do with your sink? You're going to get in your sink.
No. Right. So if I go home right now, because I think we have a few dishes to clean and we do not have a dishwasher. We do those in the sink. And I fill the sink with water. And then I take the one dish and I put it in the water and I involve soap in the process. And then I take it out. It will be a clean dish.
Yeah, just clean. I'm not going to wipe it off with the cloth.
I'm not going to have to put
soap
any more.
On it.
No, but I'll keep dunking it in the water. And if there's not going to be a lot of soap because it's just the one dish.
Mm-hmm. Just because you make waves
and
doesn't
then you
mean
take I'm the rag shoot a or video. The towel
gonna,
and you dry
I just
the
got
thing.
A little nauseous.
I'm going to shoot a video of me cleaning one plate with a full thing of water.
And show
and it's
Betty
gonna be fine.
That that's how you're doing
yeah, show
dishes.
Betty.
And then
I'm
going to
sure
have
love
that's
it.
Not Betty's not going to be involved in said video. She will
I'm
not be
show
happy
you guys
about
a video of how clean I get in a bath.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon.
Yes, please.
Go that
route. Yeah, all right then.
All right.
I don't know how do I quantify how clean
we need to take a break. We need
path.
To take a break.
I'm sure everybody wants us to take a break more after this on 720 WGN.